for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, August the 30th, 2008. Carla Batod is the speaker of this service, teaching on walking on purpose.
Let's pray. Father, right now, I just ask, Lord, that you would release right now a spirit of repentance in this place. Lord, break the hearts. Break our hearts. Break the stony places. Break up the fallow ground, Lord. Give us broken hearts and contrite spirits. Or is it the other way around? But anyway, Lord, we ask you to do it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And the Lord said unto Ezekiel, declare unto them their abominations, that they have committed adultery. With their idols they have committed adultery. In the same day they have come into my sanctuary, and they have defiled my sanctuary and profaned my Sabbaths. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth cometh to the light, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. There is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from iniquity, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The Lord has been talking to me for over 6 months now about this particular message, mostly because of the sin that's in the camp. You know, people come to me sometimes after I've taught a particular thing, and they want help with that particular thing. And in the description of what's going on in their life, they very flippantly pass over some serious things. Like, well, you know, the other day I was talking to my boyfriend. We've been together 7 years, and I just realized that thus and such and thus and such. And I really want to be free. And I said, whoa. Can we back up a minute? Did I hear you say that you're living with your boyfriend and y'all been together for 7 years? And you don't see that as a factor? Oh my. Where are we? The Word says that every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself. See, there's deliverance, and then there we need to know the difference. Because there are demon spirits. There are demon spirits that are working in us generationally. Otherwise, we have heard many teachings on that. But demon spirits cannot be crucified. They've got to be cast out. I learned that from Frank Marzullo. This is his line. Demon spirits cannot be crucified. You can't crucify a demon. It's got to be cast out. But in the same respect, flesh cannot be cast out. You've got to crucify the flesh. And we need to know the difference. That word purifieth, and you'll notice, who does the purifying? Well, let me stop right there because this needs to be said. There is nothing we can do to make ourselves pure. The blood of Jesus Christ has made us pure. But after we are made pure, it's our responsibility to stay pure. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves holy. But after we are made holy, it's our responsibility to stay holy. The same with pure, with clean, with free. Nothing we can do can we free ourselves. But once we become free, it's up to us to stay free. That word pure means clean, clear, and pure. Webster's says that it means not mixed with anything else. Boy, we have a mixture in the church today. Every flash in the pan thing that comes along, we jump on and mix with it. And we want to incorporate it in to the church. It means free from everything that might taint, alter, or lower the quality of. Pure means free from sin or moral guilt. A synonym is chaste. There's a word we don't hear very often either. Chaste means innocent of unlawful sexual intercourse, celibate, pure in thought and act. It means modest behavior and dress as an outward sign of chastity or purity. Have you looked around lately? Who would have ever thought that we would be wearing underwear as outerwear? And even in the church. Everything is skin tight, cut up to here, down to there, bare skin, you know. If my great-grandmother could come back, she would turn around and go back out and look at the sign. What have I walked into here? She probably would. Painted on clothes and water spirit. Well, it's a spirit of seduction too, you know, that's loose in the church today. I had an encounter with a woman who was a Christian, spirit filled, Holy Ghost, full gospel, Christian woman. And we were at this event together, and I had brought food, and she came out to help me, and so did her sister. And this woman was well endowed and hanging out for all the world to see. And this was not a church event, you know, granted. But, you know, she probably wore that to church too. I don't know. Maybe not. Forgive me if I'm wrongfully thinking it. But who she is and what she had on were a contradiction in terms. And so her sister was fussing at her. She said, my sister was griping at me for wearing this shirt. She said it was too revealing. Do you think this shirt is too revealing? And I thought, dear God in heaven, she didn't ask me that. I said, well... I didn't. I said, well, let me put it this way. Solomon in the Bible talks about taking pleasure at his lover's breast. I just don't want my lover taking pleasure at your breast. And I just walked on. I don't know what effect that had on her, but I had to tell her the truth. She asked. My husband will tell you, if you don't want to know the truth, don't ask Carla. Because she's going to tell you. And I will. I'll try to put it as nicely as I can. But wow, what have we come to? What am I talking about here? I'm talking about vessels. For years, I read that scripture and I thought, what in the world is that talking about? Well, now I know. Vessels of honor, of good reputation, having dignity and integrity. Vessels of dishonor is a loss of honor, disgrace, having shame or no honor. You notice in, let me see, 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy. That's where those scriptures are. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Now, right before those verses, it's talking about people that had profaned the word with vain babblings and increasing ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a gangrene. Concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, what? Depart from iniquity. That means you've got to depart. It's up to you to depart from whatever the iniquity is in your life. God won't do the departing for us. He'll convict. We all know what that is. We feel it all the time. What do we do when that thing comes? The definition of iniquity is unrighteous behavior, moral wrongfulness, like the heathen, as the world. Depart means to remove, desist, and desert. Go away from, leave. And again, in verse 21, if a man therefore, what? Purge himself. You can't purge me. We've got to purge these things. And that means to cleanse thoroughly, purge out, get rid of anything that's not pure. We have to do that. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What are youthful lusts? Well, just think about yourself before you were born again and you were young and you wanted to do your own thing. You were selfish. It was all about you. Nobody else mattered. Only yourself. That vanity and pride that we talked about. Whatever pleases your flesh. Living totally apart from God. Maybe going to church every Sunday. But living apart from God, having no fear or reverence of the Lord. That's how we live in our youthful lusts. Turn to Galatians 5:16. Now we're going to look at some of those fleshy things. If you live not in the flesh. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's my prayer. Lord, teach me how to walk totally in the Spirit so that I do not fulfill the lust of my flesh. Because it, you know, everyone knows this part. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Yay, yay. For those who walk not in the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know what that means? If you're walking, if you are a Christian and you're walking in the flesh, there is condemnation. Amen. And just take a good look around the Christian community in the world and see those that are receiving condemnation for living in the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. That word, we understand when we hear the word adultery, it means like if a married woman goes to another man or a married man goes to another woman. But you know what? It's more than that. Jesus even said, you know, when we talk about becoming a Christian, when you look at that, starting at the Beatitudes, when Jesus started preaching in Matthew chapter 5, you go read 5, 6, and 7 and see if that doesn't challenge your thinking a little bit. It was totally different from everything they had been taught up to that time. Repent. We're talking a lot about repentance, and that means becoming aware of your sin and having a godly sorrow for it to the point that you change your thinking about that thing and you depart from it and you walk away from it. But another definition of that repent is change your thinking. We just have to change our thinking. We've been programmed from the time we were born till the time we get born again in one way of thinking, and then we get saved, and a lot of times we forget to change our thinking from the way we were before we were saved. So Jesus said, even if you look upon a woman with lust, you have sinned already. You've committed adultery in your heart. And we look at the things today that are, that, well, hey, you can go to church and lust because, you know, because of the way the dress is now. There's no chaste. People are not chaste. They're not chaste. I'll just stop right there. And so men are looking around. Women are looking around. It's adultery. Your thoughts, even being disloyal to God, is adultery. So when you are rebelling against God, you're committing adultery. Okay? What about the internet? Boy, I tell you, there's so many temptations on the internet. I saw a commercial the other day about these harmony.com where you can meet the person that you really ought to be with. Free. Check out your matches for free. I thought, can you imagine how many married people have gotten on there just to see who their match might be? What are you looking for? Trouble. It'll find you. Looking at pornography, all those porn sites, all of that stuff. All of that stuff. It's adultery. Okay? It says, the second one is fornication. Now, you know, we all know what fornication is. We know what comes to our mind. But it's also, it's to act the harlot. So when you are disloyal to God and in rebellion, you're really into fornication. It's any indulgence in unlawful lust of either sex. It means to practice idolatry. It means a prostitute or a harlot. It includes sex before marriage, like with singles, like the woman who was living with the boyfriend for 7 years. That's fornication. It's sin. Unlawful lust, that means molestation and pedophilia, incest, all of that. It includes all of that. Sex with animals, that's an unlawful lust. And, you know, there's more of that goes on than we even realize. I mean, these things are starting to be out in the open. Not long ago, in the area that I live in, was probably about 70 miles from us, but and I told Mike, I said, why would they put that on the news? But this man, they were suspicious of a pickup truck they saw parked in a secluded place, so they go, and there's nobody in the truck but a man and a dog. And they rescued the animal who was traumatized. Now, put it together. The man didn't have his pants on. And I'm thinking, boy, here we go. Hey, we're on the fast track now when you start hearing things like this. Leviticus 18 says, approach no near of kin, incest. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. That's homosexuality. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast. That's bestiality. When you do these things, you defile yourself, it says. And you cut yourself off from God's people. And you bring curses on yourself. You can read Deuteronomy. Yes, it's generationally. Deuteronomy 28 will show you a list of curses of things that happen when you don't obey God's word. When you cross over to the dark side, and it's a dark side. These curses are there, they're real, they still are in effect when you disobey God's word. And then the circumstances of it are also listed there. You can find just about every disease known to man in Deuteronomy 28. And is that God doing it to you? No. Jeremiah 2:19 says, thine own backslidings shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. And that means judge and convict. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. That's what this is really all about, is having no fear of the Lord. But you know what? It's been in my spirit a long time. I've said it before, but we better open our ears and listen. The days are coming that God is not going to wink at sin anymore. He's been merciful, yes, multiplied over and over, but guess what? Judgment is the end of mercy. And the church has no fear of the Lord. Let's look at a New Testament example. It was mentioned last night, Acts chapter 5. I believe these days are coming back soon. See, the Lord knows who are His. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also knowing of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, now, let's stop right there. See, Ananias and Sapphira are in their house. And they've devised a plan. You know, all these people are selling everything they have. They're bringing everything and laying it at the apostles' feet. And they want to be in on that. Let's sell what we have. We're going to sell this land. But, you know, we're going to hold some of that back for ourselves. But we'll just take this amount and we'll go tell them that's what we sold it for. And we'll be in with the good crowd. Well, who do you think was in that room with them when they devised this plan? See, God knows everything. Verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? Y'all know what that, y'all know that feeling? It's kind of like when you're in a crowded room, like a while ago when James said, Carl, I want you to come up here. It's like, you know, that's what it feels like. Ananias was caught. And when he said that, I know everything in him went, how did he know that? Oh my gosh. While it remained, was it not thine own? See, he could have just said, we sold the land for 1,000, I'm bringing you 800. It was yours. But he lied. He misrepresented himself before the man of God, and more importantly, God. That's, man, I tell you, that's what ought to put the fear of God in all of us. While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these things, fell down and died. Probably had a heart attack. But I mean, there it was. No more mercy there. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wrapped him up, carried him out, buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." See, he confronted her. Actually, he gave her a chance to live. Confess, repent, and live. Keep lying, die. And she said, "Yeah, so much." And then Peter said unto her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them who have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Then she fell down immediately at his feet and died. I believe we're going to see those days again in the church. That's right. God is not going to wink at sin. Verse 11, "And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things." Now look down at 13. "And the rest dared no man join himself to them." I tell you what, we start seeing things like this, it's going to put such a fear, they won't even dare to come and join themselves. They won't dare misrepresent themselves to the man of God or God, for fear that the same thing will happen to them. I thought that was interesting. But the people magnified them, but they wouldn't join themselves to them, because there was a fear of God there, a fear of the Lord. And they knew what Ananias and Sapphira did. So what was in their life that kept them from being able to go in? See, purify ourselves. Purge ourselves from these things so that we don't have to be ashamed at His coming. No fear of the Lord. They were vessels of dishonor. They misrepresented themselves. That is the word that has really stuck with me. They misrepresented themselves. Okay. Uncleanness is the next one. That means morally or physically impure. Morally are physically impure. Purge yourself from uncleanness. Purge yourself. Depart from lasciviousness. That means wantonness. Unchaste. See, there it is, unchaste. That's the people are displaying lasciviousness with their unchaste dress. It means sensual. Preoccupied with satisfying fleshly pleasure. Uh-oh. That means when I'm sitting around thinking about that cupcake in there, and before you start thinking about it, I really like that. My flesh says, "Give it to me." It's the same thing. I mean, you know, we can make this, we like to make it really bad because we're not really bad. But what about this? Just satisfying fleshly pleasures. Arousing sexual desire or imagination. Lustful. That's lasciviousness. Depart from lasciviousness. Purge yourself from lasciviousness. And then there's idolatry. Whatever or whoever you put your trust in. Ooh, idolatry. What are you putting your trust in? I like to say it this way when I'm teaching on healing. If there's anything that today, if everything that you do as a habit, like I get up, I take a multivitamin. If that multivitamin was taken away from me, no big deal. I just may eat some more greens, you know. But is there anything that you're trusting in that if it was taken away today and you could never get your hands on it again, would that cause you distress? Better take a look at it. Your source or place of peace or security. See, that's where money comes in. If we have money in the bank, we can feel peaceful and secure. But if all the money's gone, and as my husband has this famous line, probably all of us have seen the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. And he needed $8,000. There was a deficit, and he needed $8,000. And he was even going to commit suicide because he had a life insurance policy, but it wouldn't even cover it. And this angel comes down to help him, and he said, "Yeah, I came to help you." And so the man said, "Well, tell me, do you have $8,000? And he says, "Oh, we don't use money where I come from." And the other guy says, "Well, it comes in pretty handy down here, bub." So every time I talk about money, my husband says, "Well, it comes in pretty handy down here, bub." But, you know, we really need to even begin to ask God to show us how is it that we're going to get by without money. I remember when I was a very young Christian, I found those scriptures in Isaiah that says, "Come buy bread and wine without money." Really? How are we going to do that? That takes a stretch of the imagination, but I really like to think about that because money is an idol for some people. If it's your security, you got a problem. If it's your peace, that's a problem. And then there is sorcery. Now, sorcery in my Bible is in parentheses, but when you look up the word sorcery, actually in the margin, it's witchcraft. Thank goodness I've never dabbled in that. But rebellion is witchcraft. So, sorry, we've all been involved in witchcraft. And the word, the Greek word for witchcraft is pharmakeia. The definition is medication. It's where we get the word pharmacy, pharmacist, pharmaceutical. By extension, it means magic. You know, there are some magicians around today that are doing some things that it is not magic. It is out-and-out witchcraft. And they are wowing the multitudes with it. How sad. We have the power of Almighty God in us, and yet our youth are following after witchcraft. Literally or figuratively, it's sorcery and witchcraft. Deuteronomy 18:9 will tell you about witchcraft. Then there's hatred. That means hostility, an act or attitude of opposition or resistance, antagonism, or a conflicting force. Now, do we have any of that going on in us? Hostility, an attitude, even an attitude. And then there's variance. That means strife. Ooh. Strife is a big one. It means quarrelsome, contentious, inclined to find or seek reasons to quarrel, often over unimportant matters. You just like to fight. That used to be a big one to me. But I married a man who wouldn't fight. So I had to go to God with my strife and get delivered of it. Emulations. That means to be hot, like boiling liquids or glowing solids, usually unfavorable, such as jealousy or the way you feel toward an enemy, having malice, covetousness, a painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another. Covetousness, a painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, joined with a desire to possess the same advantage. Jealousy. There's so much of this in the body of Christ. the work of the flesh. We step out of the realm of God, and it has nothing to do with love. Breaking of the commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. Take your eyes off yourself. Let me read Romans 12:9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Putting someone else before your own self. That's hard to do in the beginning. When you first are out of selfishness and under the love of God, it's hard. You know how I broke myself of that? When I was fixing breakfast for Mike, when I would fry the eggs, I just hate a broken yolk. But don't you always break a yolk? I'd be fixing our eggs, two for him, one for me. And dang, I would always break a yolk. And I would had to make myself give Mike the two good eggs, and I would take the broken yolk. Seems very minor, but it'll mess with your selfishness. Preferring your own self. Well, he doesn't care if there's a broken yolk. And he really doesn't. He really could care less about the broken yolk. That wasn't the issue. It was my issue that the broken yolk helped. I'll take the broken yolk. I'll give him the two good yolks. See, it's just little things. Preferring one another. Here's a perfect example of that. I'm going to read something out of John 21. I just loved this when I saw it. We need to learn this. We need to learn this statement. In John 21, this is like taking our eyes off of ourselves. Don't compare yourself to other people or compete or be envious of their whatever is happening to them that you wish it was you. Just stop that. Here's what Jesus said. Now, this is right after Jesus reconciles Peter, or Peter was reconciled to Jesus. You know, Peter denied Christ three times, and then the most beautiful story in the Bible of grace and mercy is when he allows Peter three times to recant, to renounce the three times that he denied the Lord. So he's talking to Peter. And in the end of verse 19, he says to Peter, follow me. Then Peter turns around. Oh, here comes John. He says in verse 21, Lord, what about this man? What about him? And Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, in today's terms, that would be, mind your own business. That is none of your business. What I choose to do with him. Hey, you just follow me. You mind your own business. Mind your own business. I like that one. So, I'm not going to look at other people. I need to mind my own business. James 3:13. I love James. He's tough. Sharp book, but packed. Oh, yeah, that's it. I thought that is not it. Okay, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife are, there is confusion and every evil work. Well, I've been in some places where there is so much jealousy and envy and strife. And you better know, there's every evil work going on in that place. It is scary for that to be going on, especially in the body of Christ. Where was I? Okay. You can really boil all these things down to a love issue. You know why? Because God is love. if somebody is behaving in these ways, see, it's not God, it's the flesh. Love is kind. Now, we can be kind to our neighbors, we can be kind in the grocery store, but what about to our husbands or our wives or our children? Love is kind. Love envies not. Love does not behave unseemly. There's a good one. Love is not puffed up. Love seeks not its own. See there again, preferring one another with brotherly love. You're not just seeking your own, what I want to do. Well, I wanted to do this. Well, selfishness. Love thinks no evil. See, that was something else I had trouble with big time. That was the first thing I thought about. But now it's like, you know, I give people the benefit of the doubt, the benefit of the doubt, the benefit of the doubt, the benefit of the doubt. Mercy, mercy, the benefit of the doubt. Love, love, love. And just recently, God corrected me on that. He said, you know what? There is a difference in being merciful and gracious and faithful. There's a fine line between being that for an overextended time and lending yourself to further abuse. There's a fine line. So when you're extending mercy, when you're extending grace, or when you're walking with someone, you know, we should know those that we walk among. But when they show themselves to not be who they are presenting themselves to be, there needs to be a decision. And that's tough. That's tough. We should be able to do that easily in the world, but when it's among your brothers and sisters in Christ, that gets tough. So we have to stay really in tune with God to let Him direct us when, how, and all of that. But it's a love issue. Somebody is nasty to you, it doesn't have anything to do probably with you. It's a love issue in themselves. So pray for those who despitefully use you and hurt you and snap at you. Pray for them. That's what Jesus wants us to do, is to love them. Okay. Lord, give us more of your love. Fill us today with a fresh anointing of your love. Create in us a clean heart and a right spirit. Teach us how to love like you love. How to purge ourselves. Wrath. That means passion, to breathe hard, to blow smoke with fierceness, indignation, burning with anger. That needs no further explanation. That's like a temper tantrum, losing your temper. Strife. We've already discussed that. Have you ever known anybody that just gets the thing started and then stand back and watch? Seditions. That means causing or promoting dissension or divisions. Disrupts unity or a troublemaker. You know anybody like that? Hopefully it's not yourself. Heresies. Departing from the faith in God. Departing from the truth of God's Word and giving heed to false doctrines. And that is anything that contradicts God's Word. Envyings. We already covered that. Murders. To kill or to slay. We know what murder means. But did you know that if you sit around and talk about somebody, you're murdering them. You're killing their person. It's character assassination. We're not to do that. A critical spirit can be in that murder thing. A critical spirit. Drunkenness. Now, Strong says an intoxication. Now, listen, we think about drunkenness like drinking too much alcohol. An intoxication, a strong excitement or elation. That can take place totally sober. Anything to excess is drunkenness. Webster says, controlled by some feeling as if under the influence of alcohol, but not having any alcohol. So you can get a high on, well, lots of things. Food, gambling, shopping, decorating, The list goes on and on. It's whatever your fix is. When you need to escape, it's whatever that is. It's whatever brings you that feeling of well-being, brings you back to peace. I like to get in my bathtub. That's my escape. I have this big old clawfoot bathtub, and it's deep. I even covered up the holes so the water wouldn't go out. I could fill it up to... So this is really to ask, what kind of vessel are we? Are we vessels of honor, or are we vessels of dishonor? The Lord gave me a scripture a while ago. Let me read it. Ephesians chapter 5. See, Romans 8:28 says we are to be conformed to His image. Don't go to Romans, I'm just commenting. It says we are to be conformed to His image. That's a process that will be going on the rest of our lives. But we should be working toward that perfection every day until He comes. But as He who hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I, God, am holy. It doesn't say try to be holy. Oh, I'm trying to be holy. No, He just says, be ye holy. Be ye perfect. Don't try, just be. Who are we when nobody else is around? Here's a good question. Who are we when nobody else is around? What are you doing when you're in your secret place? And I'm not talking about the presence of God. I'm talking about the secret place where nobody else is, like Ananias and Sapphira, when you think you're all alone, that nobody else can see you, that nobody else knows what you're doing. Ask yourself, is there anything in your life that you would not want made public right here, right now, in front of your brothers and sisters in Christ? Anything. If there is, purge yourself from it. Depart from it. Purify yourself. Ephesians 5, verse 14. This is what the message is to us today. Wherefore He saith, awake, wake up, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly. You know what that means? On purpose. You are walking on purpose, not just willy-nilly. You better be walking on purpose, wide awake, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time. You know what that means? You better stop wasting time. You better make the most of what time you have. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. You better live today like it's your very last day to stand before the Lord. Redeeming the time. You know why? Because the days are evil. And it is written... Well, let me finish that last one. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That is to live in His kingdom, to be His children, act like Him, bring Him glory. The highest form of worship that we can give to the Lord is to live a holy life before Him. So time is short. I'm going to read in closing 1 John 2:28. You know, last night we were asked some questions. I know I wasn't the only one that went to bed thinking about compromise, thinking about all the things that He brought up. And now, little children, abide in Him. You know what that means? That means you live in Him. You live in His presence. Yeah, you know His will, and you do it. That when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. Beloved, when are we the children of God? Now. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope, do you have this hope that we're going to see him? Purify yourself, even as he is pure. Depart from iniquity. Purge yourself. See, I can't deliver those things out of you. Can't deliver them out of you. You've got to mortify those things. Mortify, it says in Romans 8, 13 and 14. Mortify the deeds of your body. That means you have to do that. That means you have to cut those things off. You have to make them dead as gangrenous and get it off of you. Get it out of you. It's serious. It's serious. Well, Lord, right now I just ask, Father, that all of these things that we brought up today about vessels, about being vessels of honor and dishonor, Lord, that we will have a heart that wants to depart from iniquity, that wants to purge ourselves from iniquities, that wants to purify ourselves as you are pure. Lord, forgive us for adultery, for fornication, for sorcery, for uncleanness, for lasciviousness, for idolatry, for hatred, for variance, for rebellion, for wrath, for strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. Lord, forgive us for not dealing with our flesh. Lord, the rest of this camp, and for the rest of our lives, let us live lives of repentance. Lord, break us if you have to. Break us. Break us. Break our hearts so that we can come to you. Repent of these things. Purge them from our lives, Lord, that we can be vessels of honor fit for your use. In one of Paul's letters, he said, I do not apologize for the things that I've said if they have brought godly sorrow unto repentance. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. But Lord, let us wake up. Let us wake up so that we won't be like Ananias and Sapphira. Lord, let us not misrepresent ourselves. Lord, let us get real with you. Let us be honest. Let us walk in honesty, Lord. Integrity and honor. Keep these things in the forefronts of our mind, Lord. Repent. 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 For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. And the Lord, I ask you to bless the food that we were about to eat. I ask you to bless everybody that's prepared it. We give you thanks for it. We give you thanks for their service. And we thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you for sending Jesus Christ to take the punishment that we deserve. And Lord, let us not take advantage of it. Let us not frustrate your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.